I welcome you to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. I would begin with this word of the Lord from the letter to the churches of Rome. One of our affirmations of faith begins with, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." And a couple of Bible verses I pointed out to the congregation in the bulletin. And this appears twice in Matthew's Gospel, and we'll be looking at Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel. "But he who endures to the end will be saved." We share an affirmation of faith when we gather. This one from 2 Timothy in the first chapter. "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. The word of God for today is from Matthew's Gospel in that chapter 24, verses 9 through 13. Jesus is speaking of the end of all things, it appears anyway. We don't know how close any of these events are to each other. Just remind you of my question, when the Bible says this will happen soon, whose soon is it? Yours, mine, God's. And Jesus is explaining to the disciples, verse 9, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. A couple of weeks ago, I talked with you about fear. There's a good reason for that. Americans, including American Christians, are afraid. Some people are afraid of spiders. Some people are afraid of losing friends or loved ones because of politics. Some folks have been afraid because of the COVID pandemic, becoming seriously ill or losing a loved one to COVID. The Bible does not directly address any of those fears. The Bible does not directly address any of those fears. Now, that doesn't mean our Lord doesn't care. The Apostles' letter states that you and I can cast all of our cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5. So what fear, or which fears, does the Bible address directly? The Bible directly addresses the people or anyone who is turning away from God. The Bible addresses this fear, people or anyone who's turning away from God. The Bible addresses the fear of people who are turning away from God. Why? Because the Bible states if you don't have a relationship with the Lord God, you got nothing. You've got no resources. You have no recourse. You have no road, and you have no way to get where you need to go. Without God, you won't know where you need to go. The Bible only mentions lost sheep 9 times, but twice in Matthew's Gospel, which we are reading today. Jesus states clearly, "I was sent only to the lost sheep." Go, as he's speaking to the disciples, go rather to the lost sheep. So many churches will talk of saving the lost. That's okay, but Jesus never called anyone a lost sheep. Besides, do sheep know that they are lost? No, sheep don't know that. Lost people, sheep, don't know that they are lost either. Would you like the job of explaining to a sheep that it is lost? You will get frustrated while the sheep wanders farther away. The shepherd leads us, the sheep, to water and food. The shepherd makes sure that the sheep gets what the sheep needs. The sheep cannot do that on their own. And we, the flock of God, cannot find or get what we need on our own. So if you don't have a relationship with God, if you have no shepherd, you won't last long. How many times as a pastor have I heard people say who are given terminal news or are in bad straits or life just seems terrible, they say, I don't know what people do in this situation who have no faith in God. Or they will state simply, I could not take this situation if I didn't know God cares for me. That our God hears my prayers. That Jesus came to the lost sheep to save them. So the Bible is very concerned, and the Bible fears for those who have no relationship to God or anyone who is losing their relationship to God. Also, our Lord God himself states that from early on. He was concerned that his children would turn away and forget God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And what might sound strange to us is that the Lord thought we would turn away from God because of all of God's blessings. Not because of the lack of blessings, but that people would turn away from God because of all of God's blessings, the abundance of blessings, not the lack of blessings. Deuteronomy 8, when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. Now I understand that you here today, those of you listening, may think that losing your faith is one of the furthest concerns from your mind. That's okay, but there are a number of younger Christians who are not where you are. In the last 5 years, there have been some high-profile Christians who lost faith, gave up their faith, turned away from faith in God, or came to the end of their faith. I have spoken with you about pastor suicides in this country. There's Paul Maxwell. He was a Christian author, graduate of Moody Bible Institute, and a professor there, earned a PhD from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. He publicly renounced his faith last year. John Steingart, Canadian Christian rock band leader, announced on social media, I no longer believe in God. In 2019, Joshua Harris, author of the controversial Christian bestseller, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, which started the purity movement in evangelical churches, he published an Instagram post announcing, I am not a Christian. Many people tell me that there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now. A short time after that, former megachurch singer and songwriter posted on Instagram, time for some real talk. I'm genuinely losing my faith, and it doesn't bother me. Now, some of these people may mean very little to you, but they're influential in American churches. Joshua Harris alone has 7,000 fans on Instagram. And as I mentioned, John Steingart, Canadian Christian rock band leader, announced on social media, I no longer believe in God. And then he explained, it didn't happen overnight. The Bible agrees. Christians, American Christians, people do not usually lose their faith overnight. They don't wake up one day and say, oh, I'm done with Jesus. Notice how the Bible describes it. In the Old Testament, turning away is either due to impatience or because God's people's hearts and stomachs were full and content. The New Testament talks of several ways the faithful fall away, and we'll talk about some of those ways in detail. Some fall away because of the fear for their lives. Some fall away because of suffering. Some fall away after having become weak in faith. The apostle's letter to the Philippian churches shows that for some individuals, the real Jesus got replaced or transformed into something else. Others, mentioned in Timothy letters, acted out and just gave up. But losing one's faith sounds more like a process than a point on the calendar. So falling away from our faith may not be our biggest fear, but it is a fear mentioned in the Bible, and modern American Christians in some places struggle with losing their faith. I was surprised to read about a fellowship of former pastors who no longer consider themselves Christians. I'm not sure what I think of that. Was their Christianity too small to take in the eternal God? Was their trust in their own thinking too strong or too important? Did they have an image of God and God wasn't fulfilling that image when God said we shouldn't make an image of God, even in our own mind? If you would Google the phrase, losing my faith in God, you get over 38 million pages you can look at. If you Google losing my faith in the Christian God, you get 70 million pages you can look at. So it appears that the Bible, if you Google losing my faith in Christianity, you can look at one of 9 million pages. So it appears that the Bible has God's hand on the pulse of humanity in American Christianity, and American Christianity may be hemorrhaging somewhere. But our job today is not to find the spot and stop the bleeding. Not our job, and not today. It would be better if we could prevent the bleeding. And we can begin today if American Christians are not afraid of losing their faith. At least they don't tell the poll takers that they're afraid of that. Here's what the pollsters will tell us. In the latest Gallup poll, belief in God dipped to 81%, down 6 percentage points from 2017, and the lowest since Gallup first asked the question in 1944. The middle of World War II. In addition to that, the pollsters tell us that the nuns group, that's N-O-N-E, nuns, people who claim to be atheist, agnostic, or no religion, has been growing to 29%. But 81% and 29% is more than 100%. So either people don't understand the question, or they really don't know where they stand, or they just wanted the poll taker to go away. But this brings me to what I consider one of the roots of the problem. Why is it we take ourselves so seriously? Why does anyone feel they have to get their opinion out there? I told you that some of the people in our own state arrested in the attack on the U.S. Capitol January 6th, two of them didn't even vote in the 2020 election. And one of them had never voted in any election. Clearly, these men had opinions, but didn't vote. Their opinions shouldn't matter to anyone if they don't care enough to even vote their opinions. I've always felt that the first question an interviewer should ask anyone is, did you vote in the last election? Because otherwise, no one, and especially the politicians, don't care what your opinion is. If you don't vote, so why, having written a book on Christianity and then decided that you are not a Christian, do you have to write another book? And here's my personal beef. What if you change your mind again? Then which book am I supposed to buy? Which book am I supposed to read? Which book has your real opinion? Which book is what you really believe? There have been times in the history of the Christian faith that your stand on the question, are you a Christian? That question was a life or death question. In some places in the world today, your practice of Christianity can get you imprisoned, harassed, or tortured and killed. In America, it looks like to me that all that is necessary to get killed is being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It doesn't much matter what you believe. If any of the beliefs matter in this country, it matters more what the guy with the gun believes about you, because he's shooting you. But it does, what you believe does matter to God. Our Lord wants you to have faith in Him. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. The whole verse says, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Other translations say, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. You believe in God, believe also in me. Later in John's Gospel book, Jesus said it this way, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. One of John's letters says this, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. But let's get to Jesus' words for today. In Matthew's Gospel book, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and Matthew wants his churches to hear Jesus speak to the disciples. And Jesus said, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. First of all, let's notice, Jesus did not sugarcoat our mission. Jesus did not sugarcoat our mission. Can you hear me, prosperity gospel preachers? Jesus did not sugarcoat the mission, and the fact that Jesus did not sugarcoat the mission means that God is fully aware of what you and I are up against. God knows. God knows. God knows. Notice Jesus did not say you would be delivered from the troubles. Prosperity gospel preachers, can you hear it? That God knows what you are up against is to provide the disciple with a measure of comfort. He told us beforehand. He didn't tell you you'd be delivered from it. He said you'd be in the middle of it, but that he'd be there with you. That God knew ahead of time, Jesus knew ahead of time it was going to happen. You can have some comfort in that. But things get worse, Jesus said. Not only are they going to deliver you to tribulation, your own church members, some anyway, they're going to fall away, and some will betray others in the church, and church members will hate one another. And as if that wasn't bad enough, there will be false prophets, so even those who appear as knowledgeable or spirit-led or wise, they will be false prophets, and that's why is that a problem? Because they will lead even more to go astray. See where Jesus' fears are, if we should call them Jesus' fears. Falling away, betrayal, hating each other within the church, church leaders, prophets leading the faithful astray. It isn't that it might happen, it's going to happen. And we want to be concerned to be sure we're not the ones falling away. We're not the ones going astray. And we're not the ones leading others astray. Jesus wants to guard the faithful, to help make them watchful. And all of it would come to an end someday, sooner or later. And Jesus was saying, whatever happens, stick to the gospel of the kingdom. Stick to the gospel of the kingdom that I declared to you. And that's another side of the comfort Jesus is offering. Jesus will be quoted at the end of Matthew's gospel book, I'm with you, even to the end of this age. Jesus had said, I will neither leave you or forsake you. The Apostle Paul will say, love endures all things. And John's letter will state, perfect love casts out fear. From what I have heard former Christian leaders say about their lost faith, I don't hear much about love. And maybe that's part of their problem. Was their Christian faith lacking the centrality and basis of love? I don't know, but I can ask the question. In Jesus' story of the two sons, the son who left his home, his family, his town, and his country, he really didn't want to be there, didn't understand something. But when he came home, he was shown love. And I presume understood he was loved by the Father. He was beloved of the Father. The stay-at-home and work son was taught the same lesson. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Be perfected in love which we have from God first. Amen.